Testing again. Testing, testing, testing. Today is December 15th, Friday, 1989. My name is Rosalie Titoff, and I'm interviewing Bob Manning about his memories of high school. We are interviewing at Chesing High School for the Chesing High School Sophomore Honors class. It is now 2:08, and we are ready to begin. Okay. Mr. Manning, can you tell me what your memories are of your high school days?
Well, I go back quite a few years. I go back to the time of 1932, which was the year I graduated. 1929 was the big crash, and later was known as the Great Depression. And the stock market crashed in 1929. People jumped out of 20-story windows and committed suicide because they just got through buying stock, General Motors stock at $80, and it dropped down to $8. Which forced all the society of our country into one group, and that was a bunch of poor people. None of us had any money, rich or poor. My father was regarded as a well-to-do farmer. In those days, he owned 480 acres of land, and most of it was paid for. But no one had any money. We had lots of food to eat, but when it comes to money, it just wasn't such a thing. Wheat was selling for 32 cents a bushel. So to give you a little bit of a background, which probably makes me, in a lot of ways, conservative. I say I'm conservative, and yet, at my age, I'm a year past 75. I went out and bought a new Cadillac this week. So that kind of dispels the fact, are you conservative or aren't you? I had to do a little praying over that before I parted with that much money to buy a new one. But it does make you a different kind of a person. I mean, you think a lot. And I want you to know that the Depression wasn't any different than it is today. You have all your fears and concerns and stresses that probably a lot greater than ours ever were. We lived in this, what you call it, a much slower pace than what you people do. We did a lot of walking, and we didn't have cars. We had cars, but we didn't drive a lot because we didn't have too much to buy gasoline with. So it puts us into a category of or into a class, a pretty much a classless society. The rich and the poor were all in the same boat. And I think that was good. I think that part of growing up was good for everybody. I think that's pretty much my background as far as high school. To be more specific, some of the things that we did, I went to a parochial high school for 2 years, and the final 2 years was a public high school. I practiced football with them in the 9th and 10th grade, and played varsity in my junior and senior year. Was the one and only right tackle I had, so I keep my health pretty good. The school is much smaller than your school because we didn't consolidate as many. At that time, there wasn't such a thing as consolidated school districts. You still had your country schoolhouse and all. But we did have a lot of country boys and girls, which I was one of them, that came from what you call one-room schoolhouses that made up the high school. They used to send anyone that wanted to go to high school, that particular school district would pay your tuition. today, you all go to Central High School, known as Jackson Union. When I first came to this town here, you still had, I think, two one-room schoolhouses like this back in 1959. What is that? Ask me some more questions.
Okay. Well, let's just see if you can recall, I mean, anything else about high school that you remember? Anything you can describe or tell us about things that went on in high school or people or things you did?
We had a prom, a junior-senior prom, quite similar to what we have today. The post class this morning, I wore a pair of white flannels and a blue jacket, a blue blazer, which was pretty much the goal then. That was the attire you wanted to be dressed up. And borrowed it from my brother, not from my brother, but from my cousin. And his waistline was a little bit smaller than mine, and my mother put a gusset in the bag. I guess it happened to be pure white, and the rest of the flannel had turned sort of a winter white or an off-white. But the coattail and the jacket had covered up, so it didn't show. My date had a nice ankle-length formal on, bought her a corsage, walked her to the prom and walked her home, and that was it, as far as prom goes. Didn't go on until morning like it does today. No, we didn't have a limousine to escort us around. Some of the other things that happened in high school that probably would be of interest would be that that time we had, way back then, we had what we called the Varsity Club. It was the Sports Boosters Club today, which is run by the parents, but at that time it was all the letter athletes in the school got belonged to the varsity club. And the varsity club, one of the duties was to try to raise money to help support the sports club. And we put on a big varsity carnival where we utilized nearly all the classrooms in the school. One of them was the all for refreshments, another one would be for a game room, say a dime to go and play bingo or something like that. Another room would be a spook room, similar to what you do in the way of Halloween carnival today. And it was my year, and I was president of the varsity club, so I had the job of being a chairman of the carnival. It turned out to be very successful. I felt very good about it. Our curriculum was probably a little more, not as varied as yours. I ended up with 2 years of French and 2 years of Latin. And I think there were 4 years of history. It was big back in those days. One semester would be American history, and another semester would be European and Asian history. They're all broken down that way, so you didn't have as a generalized history assignment. You studied more specifically in different areas of the world. And up to, well, World War II was happening in the world a whole lot different than what you students have to look at. You're looking at a world that went into a fast spin. You're covering more area of history, you might say, industrial progress, and technical know-how that's happened from World War II until 1989, as much as from the time the world started. So when your study has to be a little bit more varied than the minor. The subject matter you're covering, you're having to cover all of that in addition to what I had to cover up to like 1932. So when you add what's taking place in the world from 1932 into 1989, add that on to what Socrates and Plato and Julius Caesar and those guys had to say and do about the world, that puts a bigger load that you have to learn than what I had to learn. So keep that in mind when I talk about my day and what your day is. There is a difference there. We had the same problems in high school, I think, as you're experiencing today. Most of the boys smoked, and some of them drank, but not many because we were in what we call still in the Prohibition days. Prohibition was the 18th Amendment that forbids the sale of all alcoholic beverages. And that wasn't amended until 1932, which is the year I graduated. So drinking was really a problem in my high school. But it came after my high school days. Any other questions?
Okay, doing real well, thank you. What can you tell me about teachers? Do you have any memories of any specific teachers or how they taught or what
yes,
they did?
Yes, I think I look upon my teachers somewhat differently than what you all have counselors. But our teachers taught us, but our great counselors, they were the ones that we really got more, I think we got an awful lot out of. I can remember a nun that taught me in the 9th and 10th grade by the name of Sister Bernard Marie. And she had a big influence on my life. So she got me to study hard enough to get an A in Latin. And was just, she was kind of a person that kept encouraging me, because I didn't realize that she really had she had her eye on me to become a priest. That didn't work out. Maybe she had other ulterior motives other than just being a good teacher too probably. Had a drama teacher that I thought very highly of. She wasn't the prettiest thing to look at. But she had a terrific charisma about her. I think it was about four or five of us decided to hitchhike in the town of Portland, which is about 100 miles. She tried to see a stage play called Cyrano de Bergerac, which is still a famous stage play. If you ever happen to, particularly if you're studying any French at all, you will want to go see the play because a lot of it's in French and you understand a whole lot more about it than those that were in ties and coattails. We were in our varsity, not jackets, but in our jackets, we had varsity sweaters. When we went to the play, a lot of them were laughing when they should have been crying, and we knew a whole lot more about the play than, let's say, than those that went because it was the thing to do. She gave us $5. I'll never forget because one of the guys was supposed to provide the food, his aunt was supposed to feed us, we got destroyed. We never did find the aunt. So that $5, we had enough money to get into the fight. So that $5 provided the food that kept us from starving and freezing to death. Our trip back from Detroit was in the back of an open truck. And this was late in the fall of the year, close to November. And I'll never forget the trip back. It was cold up. coming to class this morning, the football, I have a helmet, size 8. No one else has ever worn it since. I was back to visit my school about 25 years later, and I looked in the locker room and saw that leather helmet with RJM on it was still hanging there. I think that pretty much covers different teachers, like that. I enjoyed all my teachers. One part of high school that I didn't get enough of, I didn't get enough of science. I had a year of chemistry, and I missed out on physics and also on biology because the first 2 years wasn't offered in school that I was attending. But I did take advantage of French and Latin, which helped me a whole lot in structuring my grammar. That was one subject I wasn't good in. I always had trouble because I'm a manny. No manny knows how to spell. That goes right on down to my kids. We had a superintendent that was my chemistry teacher, so she was a little bit smaller than the other day. Superintendents were located in the same building as the principal and all the rest of the administrative and teaching staff were in. He got a class, he taught chemistry.
Maybe you can try to recall some of the fads or styles from your high school years.
Well, I don't think you're old enough to even remember the drill cream ads, are you? They were gone before you were born, I think. A little dab will do you a how's it go? A little dab will do a lot. I think that's what it meant was that just a dab on your hand, that would keep your hair in place. Well, when I was in school, it wasn't a case of just keeping your hair in place. It was, they put so much, they called it brilliantine. That's what it was called. It was oil. I don't know what it was made out of, but it was greasy. And my hair was naturally curly back in those days. And so the thing was to do was to emphasize the curls, and you'd make the waves as deep and as tall as you could make them. Today there were earrings in their ears and a few other oddities, but I noticed you kind of, your shoes are all tied up. A year ago they weren't tied. Isn't that right? It's no longer bad not to tie your shoes, is that right? Are there still some that don't tie? Well, we wore four buckle arties back when I was a kid, and these four buckle arties. Did any of us have an overshoe with a buckle on it that you could tighten with it had several different openings in the buckle, you can make it bigger or smaller. Well, anyway, they were metal and they made a lot of noise, particularly if you walked down the street without a buckle, and everyone. That's the way you anyone that buckled the four buckle arctics up, they were just a nerd, that's all. Those are a couple of the options. That was before the what you call the crew cut. Crew cut came many, many years later than that. We didn't have varsity jackets like you wear. We did have a varsity sweater, and our varsity letter we put, it was a button-down sweater as I remember, and I remember I had the big P right here on the left side. And that was your attire that you wore to school. You wore a pair of trousers and a sweater and a shirt. That was about it.
How about activities that were outside of school? Parties or dances or dating?
Mm-hmm.
What do you recall or remember about those?
Well, like I told the class this morning, I never had what they call a study day. Had a lot of them that I kind of dreamt about, like that would like to have had as a study. Remember one particular, she was a little redhead, lots and lots of freckles. The time I didn't get close to her, I blushed real easy and I turned red in the feet. And I was what you call it, the bashful kid again. Mostly because I felt that way. I didn't feel that I was popular enough to get a date, I guess. But those that did, they usually walked them home. Didn't have cars to drive. They had them, but they weren't find too many of driving cars because the money to drive a car just wasn't there. We had house parties, played post office. You know, I don't even know what post office is. Yeah, okay. That's where all the good kids. That's where you go in the room and you buy a postage stamp. And the girl gives you a kiss for the stamp. Sounds silly, doesn't it?
You know, the morning class, that was the question they wanted me to ask. They said, what post office? And so I'm glad you told them.
Oh, I see. I thought that was the only kissing game that we had. We had other games like, something about fruit basket, tip-off or something like that. Anyway, one would be on one side of the room and the other kids would be on the other side of the room and how fast you could get from one side to the other. I don't think this is much different than they are today as far as being wide-eyed good one, but the big difference at all was that we were not, I don't think we as teenagers were exposed to as much permissiveness as you are. The permissiveness that goes on today is so great that more kids feel they are a nerd if they're not somewhat permissive. Today, your standards, if you're going to make them what they're supposed to be, you're responsible for them. We didn't have to be responsible for ours. We knew that wasn't something that we should be messing around with. That was something that was very disgraceful if a girl got herself in any kind of serious trouble, such as being pregnant. That was just an absolute social upend. So you're thinking in terms of what we were faced with and what you're faced with. A kid that goes straight today, I admire a whole lot more than a kid that went straight when I was a kid. Because I think that it takes a whole lot more moral courage to stand your ground on what's right and what's wrong than when I was a kid. That's a different subject. We didn't get on that one.
No, we didn't, but that's good. And one of my questions I didn't ask this morning was about morals, and you did mention smoking and drinking already. How about describing the building, your high school building?
Someday they'll probably build it like it again because you people should really have airport buses to get from one end of the building to the other. Our techs, you know, they're responsible for all these oddities. And there'll be a time when we'll change our mind again. We'll put up a two-story building. We'll make it compact enough that you can get from one end to the other. The high school that I attended had the big gymnasium right in the middle. Right above that was the assembly hall. And all the classrooms were built around the first and second floor. So it was very accessible to get from one end to the other. But remember, this is a much bigger high school than what I attended. When I graduated, there was 11 boys that graduated with me in 12th grade. So you know, what do you have, 200-300 to graduate? So it's a much smaller high school. And you'd have to likewise take that into consideration if you ever attempted to go back to what's called a two-story high school with a gym in the middle of it, assembly hall on top of it. But that school was almost brand new. I went there in 1930 and graduated in 32. I went to my 10th grade. And that was built in 1923, so it was had nice terrazzo floors. Supposed to be a very modern building at that time. But it's been torn down since. Portland's got one like this, spread all over a 10-acre field. But they likewise have consolidated a lot of districts in this area. Chesney and school districts have consolidated.
What do you remember about extracurricular activities? I know you somewhat mentioned football, but what do you recall about activities that kids did that were related to the school, but outside of the school day?
Yeah. Well, Portland's down on two rivers, and one river is called the Grand, and the other one is called the Looking Glass. And the Looking Glass, at the railroad, had cut off one of the big bends in the river, and I made an area where water was less than 3 feet deep, and made one of the greatest ice skating rinks that miles and miles around. It was nothing as nice as the bio, as they called it, to skate on. And this was a place where we'd not only go skating, but we'd do a little bit of courting, as much as we dare to, probably enough so that, and we got through skating, we got to walk the girl home. And we had a hill over on the west side that was a street went across one of the rivers, one of the bridges, and the town was kind of thoughtful enough, they closed the bridge down during the winter months so the kids could use the hill for sliding and tobogganing on. And it was a great, a lot of fun, a good place for everyone to get out and be away from mom and dad for a while and pal with some of your friends of your old age. And that likely was a good place to find a girl to walk home. We didn't have class trips, but I recall when I graduated, we had we rented two cottages with chaperones for both of them, and that was to top off a